1 September 1912. Talk at home of Mr. and Mrs. William Sutherland Maxwell, 716 Pine Avenue West, Montreal, Canada. From Stenographic Notes. I am exceedingly happy to meet you. Praise be to God. I see before me souls who have unusual capability and the power of spiritual advancement. In reality, the people of this continent possess great capacity. They are the cause of my happiness, and I ever pray that God may confirm and assist them to progress in all degrees of existence. As they have advanced along material lines, may they develop in idealistic degrees, for material advancement is fruitless without spiritual progress and not productive of everlasting results. For example, no matter how much the physical body of man is trained and developed, there will be no real progression in the human station unless the mind correspondingly advances. No matter how much man may acquire material virtues, he will not be able to realize and express the highest possibilities of life without spiritual graces. God has created all earthly things under a law of progression in material degrees, but he has created man and endowed him with powers of advancement toward spiritual and transcendental kingdoms. He has not created material phenomena after his own image and likeness, but he has created man after that image and with potential power to attain that likeness. He has distinguished man above all other created things. All created things except man are captives of nature and the sense world. But in man, there has been created an ideal power by which he may perceive intellectual or spiritual realities. He has brought forth everything necessary for the life of this world. But man is a creation intended for the reflection of divine virtues. Consider that the highest type of creation below man is the animal, which is superior to all degrees of life except man. Manifestly, the animal has been created for the life of this world. Its highest virtue is to express excellence in the material plane of existence. The animal is perfect when its body is healthy and its physical senses are whole. When it is characterized by the attributes of physical health, when its physical forces are in working order, when food and surrounding conditions minister to its needs, it has attained the ultimate perfection of its kingdom. But man does not depend upon these things for his virtues. No matter how perfect his health and physical powers, if that is all, he has not yet risen above the degree of a perfect animal. Beyond and above this, God has opened the doors of ideal virtues and attainments before the face of man. He has created in his being the mysteries of the divine kingdom. He has bestowed upon him the power of intellect, so that through the attribute of reason, when fortified by the Holy Spirit, he may penetrate and discover ideal realities and become informed of the mysteries of the world of significances. As this power to penetrate the ideal knowledges is superhuman, supernatural, man becomes the collective center of spiritual as well as material forces, so that the divine spirit may manifest itself in his being. The effulgences of the kingdom shine within the sanctuary of his heart. The signs of the attributes and perfections of God reveal themselves in a newness of life, the everlasting glory and eternal existence be attained, the knowledge of God illumine, and the mysteries of the realm of might be unsealed. Man is like unto this lamp, but the effulgences of the kingdom are like the rays of the lamp. Man is like unto the glass, but spiritual splendors are likened to the light within the glass. No matter how translucent the glass may be, as long as there is no light within, it remains dark. Likewise, man, no matter how much he advances in material accomplishments, will remain like the glass without light if he is deprived of the spiritual virtues. Material virtues are likened to the perfect body, but this body is in need of the spirit. No matter how handsome and perfect the body may be, if it is deprived of the spirit and its animus, it is dead. But when that same body is affiliated with the Spirit and expressing life, perfection and virtue become realized in it. Deprived of the Holy Spirit and its bounties, man is spiritually dead. Children, for instance, no matter how good and pure, no matter how healthy their bodies, are nevertheless considered imperfect because the power of intellect is not fully manifest in them. When the intellectual power fully displays its influences and they attain to the age of maturity, they are considered as perfect. Likewise, man, no matter how much he may advance in worldly affairs and make progress in material civilization, is imperfect unless he is quickened by the bounties of the Holy Spirit. For it is evident that until he receives that divine impetus, he is ignorant and deprived. For this reason, Jesus Christ said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." By this, Christ meant that unless man is released from the material world, freed from the captivity of materialism, and receiving a portion of the bounties of the spiritual world, he shall be deprived of the bestowals and favors of the kingdom of God. And the utmost we can say of him is that he is a perfect animal. No one can rightly call him a man. In another place he said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." The meaning of this is that if man is a captive of nature, he is likened to an animal, because he is only a body physically born, that is, he belongs to the world of matter and remains subject to the law and control of nature. But if he is baptized with the Holy Spirit, if he is freed from the bondage of nature, released from animalistic tendencies and advanced in the human realm, he is fitted to enter into the divine kingdom. The world of the kingdom is the realm of divine bestowals and the bounties of God. It is attainment of the highest virtues of humanity. It is nearness to God. It is capacity to receive the bounties of the ancient Lord. When man advances to this station, he attains the second birth. Before his first or physical birth, man was in the world of the matrix. He had no knowledge of this world. His eyes could not see, his ears could not hear. When he was born from the world of the matrix, he beheld another world. The sun was shining with its splendors, the moon radiant in the heavens, the stars twinkling in the expansive firmament, the seas surging, trees verdant and green, all kinds of creatures enjoying life here, infinite bounties prepared for him. In the world of the matrix, none of these things existed. In that world, he had no knowledge of this vast range of existence. Nay, rather, he would have denied the reality of this world. But after his birth, he began to open his eyes and behold the wonders of this illimitable universe. Similarly, as long as man is in the matrix of the human world, as long as he is the captive of nature, he is out of touch and without knowledge of the universe of the kingdom. If he attains rebirth while in the world of nature, he will become informed of the divine world. He will observe that another and a higher world exists. Wonderful bounties descend, eternal life awaits, everlasting glory surrounds him. All the signs of reality and greatness are there. He will see the lights of God. All these experiences will be his when he is born out of the world of nature into the divine world. Therefore, for the perfect man, there are two kinds of birth. The first, physical birth, is from the matrix of the mother. The second, or spiritual birth, is from the world of nature. In both, he is without knowledge of the new world of existence he is entering. Therefore, rebirth means his release from the captivity of nature, freedom from attachment to this mortal and material life. This is the second or spiritual birth of which Jesus Christ spoke in the Gospels. The majority of people are captives in the matrix of nature, submerged in the sea of materiality. We must pray that they may be reborn, that they may attain insight and spiritual hearing, that they may receive the gift of another heart, a new transcendent power, and in the eternal world, the unending bestowal of divine bounties. Today, the world of humanity is walking in darkness because it is out of touch with the world of God. That is why we do not see the signs of God in the hearts of men. The power of the Holy Spirit has no influence. When a divine spiritual illumination becomes manifest in the world of humanity, when divine instruction and guidance appear, then enlightenment follows. A new spirit is realized within, a new power descends, and a new life is given. It is like the birth from the animal kingdom into the kingdom of man. When man acquires these virtues, the oneness of the world of humanity will be revealed. The banner of international peace will be upraised. Equality between all mankind will be realized, and the Orient and Occident will become one. Then will the justice of God become manifest. All humanity will appear as the members of one family, and every member of that family will be consecrated to cooperation and mutual assistance. The lights of the love of God will shine. Eternal happiness will be unveiled. Everlasting joy and spiritual delight will be attained. I will pray, and you must pray likewise, that such heavenly bounties may be realized, that strife and enmity may be banished, warfare and bloodshed taken away, that hearts may attain ideal communication, and that all people may drink from the same fountain. May they receive their knowledge from the same divine source. May all hearts become illumined with the rays of the Sun of Reality. May all of them enter the University of God, acquire spiritual virtues, and seek for themselves heavenly bounties. Then this material, phenomenal world will become the mirror of the world of God, and within this pure mirror, the divine virtues of the realm of might will be reflected.